Maggie had this new picture book she kept asking me to read, and I hated it, because tucked away inside those pages was the worst sentence any writer person had ever written. The worst. It was the sentence that must not be read. I kept trying to steer Maggie toward the other books Mom had bought for her at a yard sale, but she kept going back to the one about the big red dog. I didn't mind Clifford or his girl owner, but if you asked me, there was more wrong with that one sentence than there was with us cheating on the comprehensive student assessments last spring. This particular Clifford book was all about manners, saying things like please and thank you. I was good with that stuff, having been raised to know that holding the door for the old lady behind you was important. But the sentence I couldn't read, especially out loud, was the one that said, "He smiles when he loses." I slammed that book shut after reading those words to Maggie the first time. "This is terrible," I shouted. All the daydreaming and night dreaming I did about football never had me smiling after losing a game. I was going to win, and if I didn't, I sure as heck wasn't going to be happy about it. "Gavi, don't," Maggie whined. "Read it, please." I huffed. "Fine," I said. "As long as you know that what it says in there is wrong. You don't need to smile after losing in order to be a good sport." "Okay," she agreed. "Just read it." Maggie didn't care. But that sentence bothered me every time she had me open the book. So I started changing the words to what they should have said. Like, "Clifford shook hands with his opponent after losing the match, but he wasn't smiling." Or, "Clifford hated losing, but he still shook hands after the contest." Maggie frowned when I made changes, so we finally agreed I would skip that part. The rest of the sentences about being a good sport, stuff like not boasting when you win, were good, so I was fine reading those pages. When I told Dad about that terrible sentence and how wrong it was, he laughed. "I can tell you this," I said. "In my book, it's going to say, Gavin smiles when he wins. Gavin's happy winning. You know, it's not just a 7th grade football team you're joining," Dad reminded me. "It's a 7-8 team, which means there might be an 8th grader already slotted for the quarterback position." "I know. But once the coach sees me outworking everybody else and gunslinging the ball, he'll give me my shot, and that's all I need." "You'll get your chance as long as you don't go and open your mouth or whine to the coach. You need to get his attention through honest, hard work. I know." "Don't worry, Dad. I've been listening. I won't let you down. I'm going to be the hardest working kid." Dad nodded. "Good. That's what I like to hear," he said. "And since there's no sense in you wasting the summer, I brought something home so you can get started outworking everybody now. It's in the back of my truck." I ran over to check it out. "Can we put it up now?" I yelled. "Yup. Grab a hold of it and follow me." The tire was heavy, but I put my muscles into it and yanked it over the side of the truck. It bounced off the ground a few times and then fell down flat. I lifted it to my shoulder and marched out to the maple tree in our backyard. Dad met me there with his stepladder. "Thanks," I said. "You can thank me by making sure you use it." "I will." "Good," he said. "Now I need you to lift it up while I tie it in place."
"Is that a tire swing for me?" Maggie cried, leaping off the back porch steps.
"No, I'm afraid not, Squirt," Dad said. "This is your brother's new target. He's going to practice throwing his football through the middle so he can become a more accurate passer."
"Oh," Maggie said. "So he can throw touchdowns?"
"That's right," Dad said. "So you can cheer for him."
"I'll cheer."
"Me too," Mom said, stepping out onto the porch. The two of them started doing some crazy cheerleader dance.